Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you once again for tuning into Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Amen. And we've been doing this for quite a few years, and so we do thank you for being a part of this. This evening, we would like to move in. Our title is He will remember. He will remember. And as we move into this, I'm hoping that you will partake in the discussion as we exegete the Bible, breaking it down, interpreting to how the Word of God speaks to our spirit and our heart. Oftentimes, those of you who are listening by internet, if you would like to be a part of this, you can call the number 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you can be a part of this interactive Bible study. Amen. We have, it's been a blessing. We've just received our internet back up to, in Ohio. We've been down for the last couple of days due to this windstorm that they called a tornado, but they verified it as a windstorm, and it has taken down many trees, and it has disrupted many lives. It has disrupted many lives. School has been closed for 2 days, so we are just coming back together, getting back in the progress of our daily activities and living. Amen. No one has been injured. We thank God for that. But we have had a distraction with the windstorm. Amen. So we just have just returned. We've gotten back on with the internet, which came on today. Otherwise, we would have had to find some other route to broadcast or broadcast this this evening. So again, we're moving on from there. We do thank God for that. We're going to have prayer, and then after we have prayer, we're going to move into the scripture. Amen. This evening, we're coming from Matthew 5, 3 through 12. Matthew 5, 3 through 12. And most of you are familiar with that, the Beatitudes. This evening, we'd like to pray for a number of people that we keep on our prayer list. There is Elder Jared out of New York. We are praying that for his recovery, a young man who has been blessed by God, and he has just been elected elder within the church and has an unfortunate mishap where he has been in the nursing home and he's had some things going on. So we're going to pray for him and keep him in our prayer that that God would restore him and that he could continue to proclaim the gospel. Amen. We also would like to pray for there's Tanette Dickerson from out of Alabama who requires, who asks for prayer. We keep her on our list. There is, as we can go on, there's James Hobbs, who was added on the list from North Carolina. Diane Hobbs from out of Maryland. We have, as we move on, I'm just going on for those that we keep on our prayer list. Minister Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta. We're waiting to hear a praise report from him. Pastor Paul Robinson, and no, they're not brothers, Pastor Paul Robinson, who is located in Tennessee. Actually, he spoke last week and blessed us with the word. So we keep him on our prayer list, and God, we pray that God will continue to manifest in his life. We have also Stuart Hawthorne, who has been in a nursing home and has been recovering, making major recovery, and it's just beautiful to see how God has strengthened him through this this trial. Amen. So we're looking forward to when he's being restored back to his natural formation of life, doing the things that he enjoys doing. There are others. I'm just trying to think. There are others that on our prayer list. If we've left out your name, please don't charge it to our heart. Charge it to our mind. Amen. But we would like to keep you in prayer. If those of you who are listening by internet have some, if you have someone on that you would like to put on our prayer list or add to our prayer list, please do that. We invite you to do that. Father God, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for this storm that we've had, Father. And even though that we've had this windstorm, we thank you that there were no casualties. There's no one that has been hurt. Although there was major damages to property and houses, you protected your people, and we thank you for that. We ask, Father, Lord, that you would continue to bless those on our prayer list, that you would continue to allow them to restore them to their health, Heavenly Father, and bless the desires of their heart. And that's what we love about you, Father. You know our heart, and we ask that you would just bless the desires of their heart. And as they continue to recover, Lord, we ask that they would not be shy about letting the world know who it was that restored them. We thank you for that. We ask that you bless everyone who is listening and those who would like to listen and cannot listen. We ask that you bless them in a special way. Father, bless this time, this evening, as we get ready to minister to your word. Father, we pray that you would just open up our mind and open up our heart, and that we would be all on one accord, Father. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for love. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to move on as we move on into the scripture this evening. We're looking at the Beatitudes. We're looking at the Beatitudes. And it reads as such. And he opened up his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. And it closes out, it says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is greater in heaven. Or so they persecuted the prophets. As we move on into this, and again, our mics are open as you come online. Our mics are open. So we're always looking for others to share how they received this or how God has manifested the word in their life or their journey. When we look at this, Luke has four Beatitudes. Even though this is Matthew, Luke has four Beatitudes, but they are very different from the gospel that we are talking about. They are followed by the woes. Matthew parallels the Beatitudes, and he goes on to say that the Beatitudes are imperative for the kingdom. The Beatitudes are imperative for the kingdom. In order to reach the kingdom, he's teaching the disciples at this time that these are some attributes that you must have. Beatitudes. For blessed, we look at blessed in a worldly manner. The translation, we look at that in a worldly or a secular nature. Blessed in that manner of the world is someone who has been fortunate or someone who is happy. And these things bring joy to them. But Jesus is speaking on a different term when he's speaking about the kingdom. He is looking at it from, it's more than being, than blessedness. It's more than happiness. There's a theologian, his name is Bruner, and he talks about God bless. And when you use God bless, it sounds much like a prayer. It sounds much like a prayer. While Jesus is making a strong affirmation about those who are blessed, he looks at the poor in spirit. When we think about the poor in spirit and we understand that from a worldly point of view, the poor in spirit is almost like, I want to say a poverty, someone who is poor in spirit would be someone we look at as mean-spirited. And that's how the English terminology conveys it. This is not the kind of poverty in which people rebel. But the poor in spirit, under what Jesus is looking for, is toward the Beatitudes. Those who are poor in spirit, they recognize who Christ is, and they desire, poor in spirit. Jesus is looking for, when he says the poor in spirit, he's talking about recognizing that they lack a spiritual need. They're lacking a spiritual need. Poor in spirit. They lack a spiritual need. They have a desire to want more of Christ. Poor in spirit. They realize that through their spirit that they are always in need of more. They're wanting more of Christ. More of Christ. As we move on, there's a virtue that Jesus is often confronted with when he made his appearance at this time. There's a man, he says, Lord, and he says, he is humble and he is contrite in spirit and he trembles at my word. When we look in Isaiah 66:2, it talks about that. A man who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. And here, poor in spirit, it is looking at Jesus and knowing who Jesus is, the power of Jesus, and just the idea of knowing who Jesus is. if there is a fear of doing wrong, a fear of making mistakes, a fear of evil, knowing who Christ is, the poor in spirit, they're requiring more of Christ, more of Christ. No matter whatever state that you may be in, as long as that you have that desire for Jesus, in the eyesight of Jesus Christ, he's saying that you're not poor. When you cry out for Jesus Christ, that you're not poor, you're not lacking anything. You're not, as the world look at it, in poverty. But when you're poor in the terminology that Jesus is saying, he's saying that the world looks at it as poverty, but Jesus looks at it as being rich. When you cry out for the Lord spiritually, wanting more of Christ, a desire to have more of Christ, a desire to be more like him. No matter what state that you may be in, no matter what you may be going through financially, no matter how wayward things may look, but a desire to cry out more, more, more of Christ. Those are the ones who are seeking more of Christ, even in their situation. He's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you're looking more for Christ, he's saying this is one of the characteristics. These are one of the attributes that's needed in order to enter the kingdom. This is more of what's needed to enter the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of now, from a worldly point of view, we look at it once again, and we look at it as poverty, someone that's in poverty, someone who is lacking worldly goods, worldly things. And Jesus is saying here, those who are poor in spirit, not for worldly things, but when you're lacking, when you feel like you just need more of Christ, and it doesn't make a difference what situation you're in, that desire, that hunger, that thirst for Christ is what it takes to get into the kingdom of God. Those are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit, we look at is we look at it as being weak, but in the eyesight of God, the poor in spirit are those who are strong, and they're not desiring worldly goods. They're strong. Now you would probably say to yourself, if someone is strong, then they would show their strength. But that's not so. that's not so. Those who are strong are those who choose not to show their strength. They're ugly. Humble. All they desire is Christ. They don't want to show their strength. They don't want to show that. They don't have to, because Christ is their strength. Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 1 or 3 through 12. Any comments?
Hello, guys.
Amen, amen. Is that you, Pastor?
Yes, I joined late. I'm babysitting right now, so time got away from me.
Praise the Lord. We just finished praying for you.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Just wanted to say we enjoyed your talk from last week. We enjoyed it. We're still receiving the blessings from that. Thank you so much.
Pastor Robinson,
we are in Matthew 5, the Beatitudes 3 through 12. Any comments that you want to make on the poor in spirit?
On what?
We're on the poor in spirit, and we're just more so interpreting each piece of the blessing. Of the Beatitudes. We're on number 3. Any comment?
Okay. The poor in spirit. No, not at this time. Let me catch up first. Yeah, I get caught
Amen.
Up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
If I happen to go to mute, that's because the baby has woke up. So.
Okay. Praise the Lord. God bless
All
you.
Right.
As we continue. Again, we're looking at the poor in spirit. We're talking about the poor in spirit. And Jesus is teaching them, in order to reach the kingdom of heaven, you have to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be humble. You have to have an humble spirit. You have to be poor in spirit, because when we live in a society today, we feel, and I say we, I'm just talking about from humanity, we feel that when we have everything that we need, that we're not going to seek Christ. It becomes a selfish desire. And Jesus is saying here to his disciples that blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who feel powerless when it comes to Christ. Knowing who Jesus Christ is.
Uh-huh.
Knowing that Jesus is the one who went to the cross. Knowing that there was a death on the cross. Knowing that there was a resurrection. Knowing that Jesus Christ is above earthly desires. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. That doesn't mean he's saying that they are poverty stricken. He's not saying that. That does not mean that he's saying that they are poor. We're looking at it that they are strong in Christ. They're crying out for Christ. So someone who is down, someone who may be going through trial, someone who may be having all kind of troubles, rather than focusing on their troubles, they focus on Christ. They focus on God.
Amen. Amen.
They focus on God. They are faithful even things are downtrodden, they are faithful, and they continue to look to God for deliverance. Jesus is saying that because of your state and where you are and the situation that you're in, and because you desire more of me, you cry out for me, because you know of who I am, that is one of the criteria to get into the kingdom of heaven.
You know, Elder John, the Bible calls us to be humble as a little child. And, you know, being humble as a child, but not being childish. And I think a lot of us mess up being childish rather than trying to humble ourselves as little children. And you know, children of God. And humility is really, really hard for a lot of people. It's hard because they feel like humility is weakness. And a lot of Christians today, the first thing they want to say, is, "I'm not a weak Christian. I'm not." And what they're saying to me, the way I take it is that they're not humble enough to receive God's blessings. And I'm really taking this in, what you're saying about being poor in spirit doesn't mean that we're poor, doesn't mean that we don't have anything, because those who are poor in spirit, the most thing they have, I think you already said, I'll reiterate it, is Jesus Christ. And he'll be the one who takes care of those who are humble, those who are poor in spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We move on to the next beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Amen.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And when we look at mourners, when we think about mourners, we think about mourners as being unfortunate people. Unfortunate people. And they are not. Mourners are those, from a worldly point of view, unfortunate. They've had so many things that have happened to them to the point where people in the world pity them because of what they have been going through. And when Jesus is saying here is, blessed are those who mourn, he's looking at it just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
That from a worldly point of view. And it's kind of hard to think that Jesus speaking, you know, is speaking of those who have suffered bereavement. They've suffered bereavement. But here, Jesus is saying, blessed are those who mourn. And what he's saying is that those who mourn, they repent. They're repenting of their sins. They're grieving because of this displeasure of evil. They're grieving of the sin. They're grieving over the things that have displeasured them. All the things that's wrong in themselves. And how I read this is, Jesus saying that those who are mourning, he's not saying that our values are wrong. He's not saying that we should they're often neglected or despised. He's not saying that. He's saying those who mourn, who keep my law.
Mm-hmm.
Those who mourn are those who keep my law. In other words, that when people mourn, and oftentimes when people mourn, they want to go out and choose to do wrong. They want to go out and do anything and everything because of the hurt and the pain and the grief that they're going through. And what Jesus is saying here is that those who mourn, who's obedient, who keep my laws, who continue to keep their eyes focused on the cross, who look for Jesus in that time of trial. They keep the law. They do not waver, even though that they are mourning over a loss, they keep his law. In Psalms 119 and 36, you know, it says that my eyes shed streams of tears because men do not keep my law. Jesus is saying here that the ultimate triumph of those who mourn and those who grieve over evil is sure to enter into the kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
So how I see that here is that we are not to wait. It doesn't make, if we're grieving, we are not to waver because our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. We're not to waver. We are to continue. We're not to go out and do wrong and say, well, I was feeling bad, you know, because of my loss, so that's why I chose to do that. That's why I chose to drink myself to a stupor. That's why I chose to go out and indulge in drugs. That's why I chose to do that. I was holding strong. I was strong. I was holding on until this happened, and I chose to go and do that because of my grief. And what Jesus, what he's saying here is those who keep his law even in grief shall see the kingdom of heaven. You want to comment on that?
Elder John, you know, Jesus proves that in one part of the scriptures. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I just want to point out the fact that in John chapter 11, when Mary and Martha, their brother had died, Lazarus, and Jesus had to come and comfort them. And in his comforting, I can say this, that they received a blessing. And that's why I say that Jesus proved himself. I know in that part of the scripture, that in the Beatitudes, as it says, those who mourn shall be comforted. He proved himself right there. And I just want to point that out, that he will comfort you in your time
Amen.
Of mourning, but only if you lean and depend on him and not everybody else and everything else. And as you said, it is very well true that people do take grieving and times of mourning to go out and do wrong, to smoke, to try to ease their mind. Maybe marijuana will ease their mind, or maybe some hard drug will comfort them and ease them, or maybe drinking a beer will do the same thing, you know. Maybe even just going out, acting a knucklehead and shooting somebody or you know, just robbing a bank or robbing a store, you know, because I had this on my mind, because I was going through this, because I was going through that. But, let me say this, that everybody should understand that whenever you do that, the pain is still there. No matter what you do, no matter what you do, it's still there. You can drink and you wake up out of your drunken mind or your drunken sleep, and guess what? It's still there. But Jesus takes that. Jesus takes that mourning spirit, and he comforts it. But it's only if you trust him now. It's only if you trust him and only if you believe in him that he will comfort you, because you will have somebody. I tell people all the time that you will have somebody that you can call on, even in the midnight hours. You can call on him, and he'll be there. He'll be there. Amen. You might not be able to see him, but you can feel him. And hallelujah. That is one of the greatest feelings that a person can feel. I remember when my mama died in 2008, that's who I called on. That even though my wife was with me, laying in the bed at night, it was him that I had to call on to comfort me, to let me know that everything was going to be okay. So I'm just saying, Amen. You know, that that's where we need to go when we're feeling down, when we're feeling out, when we're feeling like we don't have anybody else or anything else going for us. Go to God. He is our refuge. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for sharing that with us. Amen. And that is so true. And again, this interactive, you know, Bible blog is basically just so that we continue to encourage each other. We are the body of Christ. As the body, the arm needs the leg, you know, and the rest of the body in order to function. But we all, as a body, recognize that the head is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The head is Jesus Christ.
So true. So
Amen.
True.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. And when we look at the meek, the meek is someone who is considered showing genuine humility. Humility. Now, the world may confuse meekness with weakness.
Amen. That's what I was thinking.
But that's not so. The world looks at that. But in actuality, those who are meek, meekness is really compatible with great strength.
Amen.
They're great strength. They have the ability of having a measure of strength in Christ. So we can compare strength with meekness. When there's great humility, when we show great humility, that means that we're weak. And the world sees us as weak. But in Christ's eyesight, that meekness is strength.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that makes it so beautiful is that those who are strong in Christ, and as I spoke before, strong in Christ, they refuse to engage in conduct that advances their own personal needs. It's not about me.
Right.
It's about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Christ. That's meekness. Being able to see others.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was just going to say that you hit the nail right on the head when you said the world looks at our meekness as weakness. And that's one thing that I was teaching Bible study, and that's one thing I told them. I was teaching Bible study on the Beatitudes and the fruit of the spirits. And I told them, do not let don't let people take your meekness for weakness. You know, don't just, you know, we can't do that as Christians. Because they do, they think Christians are weak because they will not retaliate. They will not interact with any kind of violence or such things as that. But we have to do that. We have to continue to be meek and mild, just as Jesus Christ was. He was very meek. You said our meekness is great humility. But just notice how in the Beatitudes, that's two times in the three verses that you read that Jesus says, be humble.
Amen.
You know, that's twice he said that out of them three verses. He says, be humble. And I just appreciate those encouraging words, Elder God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. When we see strength, when there's strength, you know, those, when you're strength, you look at someone who's strong, you see them as strong, and they choose not to conduct themselves in a way to show how strong they are. If anything, their genuine dependence is on God. There's a genuine dependence on God when you're meek, when you're humble. The world sees it as weakness, but in Christ.
But in Christ.
You are strong.
Yes.
And that's where it says, blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And if you notice, most of the time he was talking about, Jesus was talking to his disciples about heaven. Here he talks about earth. Here he talks about earth.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that when you are meek here on this earth, that you're strong. And it's saying that your dependence is on Christ, that you're able to overcome the obstacles that others are not able to overcome.
That's right.
You're able to overcome those obstacles by being meek.
Being meek.
Jesus is saying to disciples, you don't have to show your strength. Let your strength be in me. If you abide in me and I in you, you know how that goes, you will bear much fruit.
Uh-huh. That's right.
You'll bear much fruit. I'm looking at the hour. Man, my goodness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. When we look at hunger and thirst, someone who is hungry, that means that someone is in dire need for food.
Jesus.
For food. That means they'll do anything to eat.
That's how
I eat. When you're hungry, you may say that you don't eat one particular thing, but when you are hungry, you might change up and eat something else simply to satisfy that hunger. And what I want to say here is that hunger and thirst for rights, hunger and thirst go together.
Uh-huh.
They walk hand in hand. Hunger and thirst walk hand in hand. Their belief is in Christ. They know what the atoning of Christ. They understand that.
Hunger and thirst.
And that's where I want to be. Always have a hunger and a thirst for the word of God.
Amen. Hey, you know, Elder John.
And when I receive the word of God, then I know that I'm going to be.
Amen.
And when I'm fed, I know that I'm going to be full. And if I'm full, I know that I'm going to be satisfied with whatever.
Satisfied. Satisfied.
Any comments?
You know, I was going to say that, you know, I don't think that Christians today are hungry enough. I don't think that, and that's one thing that we do in our discipleship training classes on the call-in. We encourage one another, and especially me as the pastor, encourage our people to read, to study God's word, because that's what he asked us to do, to study, to show ourselves approved unto him. But you know, as I said, we're just not hungry enough. Or can I say some of us are just not hungry enough for God's word and for his instructions. We feel like we can nibble here and nibble there. Well, we can go get a scoop out of Genesis and a pinch out of Revelations, maybe a dab out of John or Matthew or somewhere around in there. You know, we're not hungry enough to get. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
We're not hungry enough to get full, and as you said, to be satisfied. We're not hungry enough. A lot of people today are not hungry enough for that. And as you said, and I'll say again, that's what we got to get. We got to get hungry. I mean, it's we're living in a tough world, man. We living in a world now to where people are doing anything, anytime, anywhere, for any reason, and we to get hungry after Jesus,
amen.
In order to be full, amen.
Amen. Amen. That's why, you know, I rely on, you know, when I think about the word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path.
Mm-hmm.
A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, meaning that the word will give us direction on how to live, how to walk, the direction that we're going,
yeah.
So we don't make wrong turns and end up going in these dark alleys or these dark paths where we can't
Amen.
See, where we don't know.
You know,
but as long as we're in the word, we're always going to know where we're going.
I spoke to a church Sunday, and we talked about GPS and the Bible being our GPS.
Amen.
Not as
Amen.
The GPS that we use in our cars and on our phone, because that's called that is called a global positioning system. But I turned that around and used the Bible, and the Bible is God's word, and I call the Bible God's positioning system. That is our GPS.
Amen. I like it.
And we need to follow that GPS rather than the other GPS.
I like it.
Because the GPS that we have when we're going place to place is a piece of equipment that'll take us from one destination to another and put us at a certain place and stop. Watch this. Anybody listening need to get this now. But God's positioning system, the Bible, gives us an eternal destination. And we don't have to worry about stopping once we get to glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we need to get that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is so true.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. We know where we're going.
We know where we're going.
Know what our final destination is.
if we follow that GPS.
Amen. Amen. You know, I also wanted to mention on that when we look at, you know, thirst for righteousness, only God can give us righteousness.
Oh, yeah.
Only God. For those listening, thirst for righteousness, only God can give us that, not man. Amen.
You know, Jesus said in Matthew, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33 to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Amen.
But
yes.
If you're not thirsty for that righteousness, then you can't seek it. So you gotta be thirsty. You gotta be hungry. You gotta be thirsty enough to seek that righciousness. And that's
Amen.
The only way that we'll be able to find it.
Amen. I used to always look at righteousness as right living.
Right living. Yeah. Amen. Right living.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. When we look at that mercy, I see mercy as being grace. Grace. Jesus chose to die on the cross for you and I. Mercy.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And when we look at the pure in heart, we're talking about pure in heart, not only pure in heart, but pure thinking. Pure in heart is pure thinking. That is the purity that they will see God. Pure in heart, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that I am going to see God. I know it. Without a shadow of a doubt. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God.
Amen.
Peacemakers. Is that what Christ came here to do?
Yeah.
To turn an evil world around, to make it peaceful so that we would love one another.
Amen.
So that we will help them. And the more that we continue to help others, we are peacemakers, peacekeepers, however you want to use it. That means that we deter from hostility. We turn from hostility. Rather than hostile, we seek peace. And when we seek
peace,
we seek Christ. It
aligns
with God. It all aligns with God. Those who are persecuted for righteousness. Those who are persecuted for righteousness shall, for their sakes, is the kingdom of heaven persecuted. People talk about you because you're a Christian. People put you down, Bible thumpers, whatever. When you are persecuted for Christ, for my name's sake, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And here God is saying it doesn't make a difference what you're going through. No matter what they say, don't change your direction. Continue seeking me. Continue seeking me, seeking Christ. And he's saying that if you continue to do that, then your outcome will be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kind of evil things against you falsely. And that's very similar to what we were just saying about how people treat you.
Yeah.
Because people treat you poorly for my name's sake, he's saying that you shall see heaven. You shall see the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, would you like to make any comments before we close out?
No, sir. I was just I'm just listening to what you're saying, man. But thank you, thank you, Elder John, for that explanation on the Beatitudes. I think we don't talk enough about the Beatitudes. Try to explain to our people and to try to help our people grow in Christ by using Beatitudes. To comfort them, to assure them, to lift them up, you know, to get them going, And that's what the Beatitudes does for me. It gets me going.
Amen.
It encourages me.
Amen.
And lets me know that when I don't have anything else, I got Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I was telling the listeners earlier as we came on, as we come to a close, that, you know, we've had a windstorm here that's kind of, you know, kind of disturbed our normal way of living. And we haven't had school in 2 or 3 days. Trees were blown down.
Wow.
Houses,
wow.
You know, were, you know, destroyed or disrupted. And, you know, we basically, more so we didn't have any internet. I just got internet today. Today. My internet came on this evening. Around
Amen.
About 3 o'clock I was able to get in. So
so
that's where we've been. So I thank God for, you know, for allowing this to be able to take place. And I pray that for those of you who are listening, received something that you can apply to your life in some
Amen.
Kind of way. And we do welcome you to come and be a part of this interactive discussion. Amen.
Amen.
Do not have, please don't have, be fearful of coming on and talking about how God has blessed you. Amen.
Amen.
How God has
Amen.
Graced you. Please do not be shy on coming on and sharing that, because we understand. Because we've been blessed and still being blessed by Christ. So we do thank
Amen.
You for those of you who have tuned in by internet. We do thank you over and over again, Pastor. We had a couple of New York people were on, and for some reason they lost connection or something. But I do thank you for your interaction as well. Thank you so much for coming on, and even doing taking time while you are babysitting to come on and share the Word of God. So I just, on that note alone, I know that, you know, someone receives something by what was said. May
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. And looking
May
forward
God
to talking
you.
To you.
Yes, sir. Me too.
My heart is